You know, for the San Luis Valley, the Rio Grande, the river is the lifeblood. You know, it's very instrumental to, you know, the agriculture economy, to recreation in, you know, from one end of the valley to the other. And yeah, it's the, I think it's the thread that connects all of our communities. And the name is definitely unique to activating those levee systems, those trails, and certainly has been a springboard for a lot of the great work that's going on now with the Riverfront Project. A lot of those conversations really begin in this collaboration, in this meeting.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 51. Your host today, Marty Jones. As always, our very capable producer, Owen Woods. And our guest today is Esteban Salazar, who is the Health and Wellness Coordinator for SLV Great Outdoors. We want to thank Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast, and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. So welcome, Esteban. I wonder if you would take just a minute or two and introduce yourself and give everyone an idea of your background. What do you do there at SLV Great Outdoors?
You got it, Marty. So yes, again, my name is Esteban Salazar. I'm with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. I'm the Health and Wellness Coordinator. I am tasked with overseeing a number of community initiatives through our very important grant that's been generously given to us through the Colorado Health Foundation. There's a huge component of health equity, increasing access to the outdoors through our organization, and trying to get the word out about our great community resources in the way of parks and trails in and around Alamosa and the greater San Luis Valley. So in addition to, you know, sharing these initiatives, I'm overseeing a program that we call Nature Prescriptions. And it's gaining a bit of traction in the last several months. We've had what I want to call a stellar success back in September, when the Rio Grande Hospital and Clinic System generously helped us bring in a MD doctor who works with the national model ParkRx America. And we talked to hospital administrators, clinicians, therapists, and people within the healthcare system about what it looks like to have a conversation with a client or a patient around a nature prescription, and how activity outdoors benefits a person physically and in the way of behavioral health as well. There's lots of ongoing peer-reviewed data that demonstrates, I think, some of the more obvious benefits. The activity and the physical benefits are, you know, really clear to many people, but the data around the behavioral health benefits and things like depression, anxiety, insomnia, activity, fresh air, and these are the proponents, the things that we want to really promote from within San Luis Valley Great Outdoors and the program area that I work in, and that's the health and wellness area. Additionally, I oversee a small group of outdoor ambassadors from within the community that are trying to bring exciting outdoor opportunities to the community in the way of regularly scheduled programs. We've done a number of different community nonprofit programming opportunities that we've made available over the years, things like bike riding, hiking, walking, group walking, particularly now in the cold winter months. We have a walk program every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. We're meeting up at the Alamosa Rec Center, and you just go up to the front desk and tell them that you're with the Golden Pathways Walk Program on Tuesday mornings at 9, and they'll give you the door code, and we just we walk around the catwalk, and 12 laps is a mile, and it's a good opportunity to get in some steps outside of, you know, I guess away from the cold and the wind and, you know, climate controlled environment. And yeah, something that was really popular last summer, and we kind of outgrew our smaller capacity when we were doing this at East Campus and Evans Elementary. And it's a very small, not a standard sized gymnasium. So we had lots of interest to continue it, and we decided that this year we were going to try the Alamosa Rec Center. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to provide opportunity and education and inform folks about the resources in our community and try to break down some of the barriers and challenges and obstacles to health access, health equity access. So that's largely what I'm here to talk to you about today, Marty. And also, I'm excited to speak a little bit to a Revitalize the Rio survey that's specific to the community of Alamosa. And it's been a several-month effort in working with community in the way of community meetings and small focus group discussions around what folks see in the way of usage at Alamosa parks and trail facilities, different types of uses, increased usages. We ask about information needs and barriers and challenges for folks to getting outdoors and utilizing those resources. Alamosa City Parks and Recs was very very much involved in helping us craft the questions and language around the parks and recreation piece, but also some of the other more general community concerns and safety concerns related to lighting and things that might be concerning to folks that influence their decision to utilize those spaces. So in this, we hope to learn from our community, educate ourselves further, and help to bring down those break down those barriers. And Andy Rice and I have had conversations about a program that they've been championing for a while now, and I'm going to see how I might be able to help them activate some of the parks and trail systems in a model they're calling Adopt a Trail, which is really designed to activate these spaces by community members. And, you know, if you see something going on that concerns you, like, oh, something as simple as maybe the trail needs some mowing, or maybe there's been some vandalism, graffiti, or something like that. Things that concern you, or maybe individuals in the community that they may have witnessed that are deterrents from them using those parks or trails. We want to know what those things are, and I think that we did very well in trying to assess what concerns community members might have based on this community-driven conversation that we've had for several months now. So hopefully that'll help us inform a path forward and how to get people more comfortable using those spaces regularly, and creating an ongoing sense of stewardship in activating those spaces, but also maintaining them, and, you know, instilling a greater sense of pride and ownership amongst longstanding community members, but our youth as well. So yeah, lots of good things.
Before you go any farther, some of our listeners may not be familiar with just the general Revitalize the Rio group and what some of the goals are. What can you tell just a little bit, just in a short time,
sure,
a little bit more about the goals of Revitalize the Rio?
Yeah, well, so Revitalize the Rio is a group of community members and professionals who have come together since approximately 2018. A number of representatives from nonprofit organizations who have worked to make our community more inviting in the way of greater access to recreation resources and addressing other community concerns like food access and things like that. So it's an ongoing initiative, and we hold a quarterly meeting here in Alamosa, and we have traditionally held this quarterly meeting at the Alamosa Rec Center. Our next meeting is going to be on April 23rd, and we're moving venue. We'll actually be meeting at the Shooting Stars Cultural and Leadership Center at 8th and Ross here in Alamosa. And then in the summer, I think we're going to, in July, when we have our next quarterly meeting, we'll likely be meeting at the Farm Park Education Center. So it's a way to find out more from community about what they would like to see specific to the city of Alamosa, in the way of recreation opportunities and health equity.
Okay, and can you explain a little bit more about why the term Rio is in the title? Revitalize the Rio, to me, is like activating the river corridor.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, for the San Luis Valley, the Rio Grande, the river is the lifeblood. You know, it's very instrumental to, you know, the agriculture economy, to recreation in, you know, from one end of the valley to the other. And yeah, I think it's the thread that connects all of our communities. And the name is definitely unique to activating those levee systems, those trails, and certainly has been a springboard for a lot of the great work that's going on now with the Riverfront Project. A lot of those conversations really begin in this collaboration, in this meeting. In this meeting space.
Yeah, and we'll be talking more about the Riverfront Project on this podcast later on. But for now, at the last quarterly meeting, I believe in December, wasn't it? You shared an exciting survey to get more community input on this. So I wonder if you can talk specifically about that and tell us how citizens can get involved, how they can access the survey, and if there's a deadline for completing the survey, and so on.
Yeah. Again, the survey is really, the inception of the survey is based around our desire to gather information from the community about barriers or obstacles to utilizing outdoor recreation spaces in and around Alamosa. And you can take the survey if you follow us on Facebook, if you do the social media thing. I'm doing a weekly post at our Facebook page. Also,
what is your Facebook page?
It is, you would use the search item on the search tool on Facebook and go and type in SLV Go, and it'll direct you to our Facebook page. So it's a little different than website addresses, but that's how you would navigate and find us. Also on, it's a Saturday approaching February 15th. I'll be set up for most of the day between 8 and 1 p.m. At the annual health fair at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church. It's an event called Love Your Sweetheart, and there's going to be a number of tables and booths from folks from the healthcare system, Valleywide, SLV Health, San Luis Valley Behavior Health, and a number of nonprofit organizations will be out there talking to community about general community wellness. So I'll be set up there. If you're not a technology-driven person and you want to have a chat about the survey and take the survey in person, you can come on down that day. Again, that's Saturday, February 15th at the Sacred Heart Church. I'll be there recording survey results, talking to people, registering people for our walk program. Also, I'm working on developing a series of postcard size publications that I want to circulate throughout the valley, and we're hoping to have concluded the data collection piece by the second week of April. So we've got a few months to go. Also, one of our outdoor ambassadors and myself, once things warm up in just a few weeks in March, what we plan to do is some good old-fashioned canvassing and beating bricks by walking some of our maybe harder-to-reach neighborhoods here on the south side of Alamosa and in the east side of Alamosa, to be a little cognizant of, you know, some of the challenges that we've seen in previous data collection efforts where some of our communities, you know, I think largely tied to work schedules or just maybe not being comfortable to answering the door. When we see that happen, we just don't get the results from certain demographics that we would hope for. So we are aware of that on the front end, and we're hoping to, you know, offset some of those inherent challenges in data collection in our community by going door to door and talking to people and just administering the survey in person to a lot of people.
Is the survey, is there a link to the survey also on the SLV Go website?
Not yet. I'll be talking to Maddie about getting it up on the website as well. But it's going to be a lot of one-on-one interface with folks. You can always, if you happen to come by the office at 510 San Juan, most days I'm there and I'd be happy to, you know, take your survey response there. So we're looking for various venues and opportunities to get the information out there. But right now we've been really, this is my first initiative in getting a public broadcast and getting the information out into the internet. So beyond social media, I'll be doing some health fairs and getting these postcards out and going door to door in just a few weeks. So we've got quite the ambitious data collection plan.
Well, that's good, because you want to get a large number of responses in order to have the best data possible. So roughly how many questions are on the survey, and how long do you anticipate it's going to take for people to fill it out?
Yeah, great question, Marty. We were hoping to keep it under 10. And then, you know, after assembling the survey and retooling a couple of the questions based on community feedback, and integrating a couple of demographic questions, we thought it was important to ask some questions about people's age and, you know, and social identity, things of that nature. So we capped it at 13 questions. And I think the average person, you know, we were real conscious of the language and in developing the survey, and I think the average person can probably wrap up that survey in less than 10 minutes.
Are there opportunities to respond other than just clicking a little radio button? Can you expand on an answer, for example?
Yeah, so we have a couple different methodologies in the survey itself, and there are a couple questions that are set up with multiple choice response, and the other option that we have is radio buttons. So we were real intentional in structuring the questions so that we could gather, you know, as much clear information as we could. And there are a couple questions in there that have other. So it would allow you to, let's say, maybe your response isn't listed in our range of responses, and you wanted to put in something specific that isn't identified in the selectable options. You could type in a response into that data box and then submit that as part of your survey.
Great. Well, it sounds like, and I know that you're doing a lot of really interesting activities and trying to make decisions that are based on the data that you collect from the surveys. So thanks so much for doing that. What kind of feedback do you hope the folks will provide?
Well, you know, some of the questions were, you know, they were developed with the assistance of Alamosa City Parks and Recs, but also one of the questions that really stuck with me in the development of the survey was a question specifically related to lighting, perceived lighting needs in people's neighborhoods. So in addition to having these demographic questions, we were asking for, you know, people to provide their email address and names so that we can follow back up with them to maybe have more detailed conversation around specific questions that we'd like to explore further. So the lighting, I think that really pairs well with some of our dark sky initiatives that Danny Robin is doing with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. And I think the lighting discussion really came up around the Zapata Park area and maybe segments of State and Ross Avenue on the south side. And there's some interesting data that demonstrates that lighting is a good deterrent from, you know, things like criminal activity and vandalism. And there's a balance to having not enough lighting and too much lighting, which on the far side of the spectrum will also encourage, you know, not great activities. And, you know, if this is something that, you know, presents itself repeatedly in the city really wants to hone in on, you know, where these perceived lighting needs are, we can have more conversations around identifying funding and what type of lighting might be installed in respect to what Danny's hoping to do with the Dark Sky Initiative. But also, you know,
I think it's fair to say that not every residential dwelling, necessarily needs a big street light in front of it. And, you know, conversations about what that layout would look like, you know, maybe every other house or maybe a light on the corner, on the corners of a block and one in the center of the block, you know, to not, saturate the lighting and exacerbate the situation. Because, like I said, the data shows that too much lighting actually will encourage more criminal activity. So, yeah, we're hoping to find really interesting insight from our community that'll help us as a community figure out where needs and barriers and challenges are, you know, and if we find, for example, that, you know, maybe one of the things that are keeping folks from utilizing Zapata Park or Boyd Park is the lack of lighting or maybe some other security concerns, you know, we can develop a strategy on how we might maybe have a walk program over there. Or maybe talk to people in the neighborhood about their interest in engaging in an adopt-a-trail stewardship or adopt-a-park program.
So a pretty comprehensive look at outdoor recreation in Alamosa and potential barriers. You'll get some good responses from that, I'm sure. So as we move forward into the warmer months, certainly it's warmer right now than it should be. But as we move forward into the warmer months, are there still plans to continue the outdoor walks and runs and bike rides and things of that sort as a part of the Embajadores program?
Yes, we're still working on our schedule. So we're going to be very... we're going to be very thoughtful on how we develop our programming in the next couple of years. We've identified some potential to expand out to Monta Vista and Del Norte and perhaps the community of Center. And then maybe within a couple of years, we'd like to, you know, bring some programming opportunity to communities in Conejos and Costilla County as well. So programming is something that is firmly in our programming plans, but we're just hoping to get past this bit of a cold and the windy season that will, you know, keep us indoors clear into April sometimes.
All right. Well, lots of things going on. We've been talking with Esteban Salazar, the Health and Wellness Coordinator for San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. Any final thoughts you'd like to share? Anything that you didn't mention regarding the survey or other health equity issues that you'd like to address?
Well, I was thinking of another venue as we were chatting of how we might get the survey to the public. And, you know, if you live in Alamosa and you'd like to, you know, find out more about our organization and partake in the survey, and you would like to maybe get in a morning walk on a Tuesday, I'll have copies of the survey with me, and you can join us at the Rec Center at our walk program, and we'd be happy to have a conversation with you around the survey and barriers and challenges and community safety concerns, and which is really the crux of the survey that we're getting out.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Esteban, for coming in, and we'll be right back with some outdoor conditions and news after a brief sponsor break.
Hey everyone, this is Hannah Eubanks bringing you another Valley Calendar update with the events happening this week. Tuesday through Thursday is the Southern Rocky Mountain Ag Conference in Monta Vista. A lineup of speakers will address the most pressing issues facing ag producers today. It will no doubt be a conference for the books. Also on Thursday, there is a Riverfront Project open house for Alamosa residents to add in their input on the upcoming project. This will be at the Rio Grande Farm Park at 6 p.m. On Friday, Narrow Gauge Book Co-op is having an artist reception for Allison Cruz. Also on Friday, Taos-based High Desert Acoustic Duo heads to Society Hall. If you have an event coming up, submit it to the Valley Calendar. All you have to do is head to the Valley Calendar page on alamosacitizen.com, click online form, and give us the details. That's all for now. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
Well, welcome back. This is the third day in a row that Alamosa has topped 60 degrees. Don't tell the groundhog, the changing norms of climate change are becoming less predictable. Let me give you an example here. I generally ride my bike down here to the podcast studio during the winter. I have a heavy coat on. I've got heavy gloves, hats, and so on. Today, and today is February the 4th, today I rode down to the studio in shorts. Owen, it's too warm.
It's very strange. I mean, even in the air, I can smell it in the air. It's like springtime a little bit.
Yeah, I was talking with Dr. Matt Nearing last week. We've had him as a guest on the podcast in the past, and he said he thinks winter is over for the year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think unless some kind of crazy storm comes through, I think we're done.
I hope that we get a crazy storm. You know, I don't mind temperatures in the 60s in February. It's good bicycling weather, good walking weather, and so on. But when we get temperatures in the 60s, we generally don't get any moisture with that.
Well,
and we are so short of moisture.
I'm afraid for what the summer has in store. If this is what our early spring is looking like, I can only imagine what the summer is going to look like.
Yeah. Let's move on to avalanche danger. Avalanche danger in the South San Juans is moderate at and below tree line. According to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, as the snow surface warms, your ability to trigger an avalanche at lower elevations increases. Loose avalanches could gouge into older snow and gain mass as they travel downhill. If you sink into wet snow above your boot tops, see small loose slides on sunny slopes, or start glopping, retreat to shady or lower angle slopes. Now here's a quick look at some of the local ski areas. Wolf Creek is reporting a 46-inch summit depth with just 119 inches of snowfall this season. Monarch is reporting 42 inches at their base and 129 inches for the season. Taos Mountain is reporting a 29-inch base depth and just 63 inches for the season. And Angel Fire is reporting 29-inch base depth, 79 inches for the season. In total, those are significantly lower than the typical value. All right, some news. A woman found dead in Costilla County has prompted an investigation into a possible animal attack. Although there is not enough definitive evidence to suggest the woman was killed by an animal, the Costilla County Sheriff's Office, along with the Colorado Bureau of Investigation and Colorado Parks and Wildlife, are awaiting results from an autopsy from the El Paso County Coroner that could take up to 5 weeks to complete. Costilla County Sheriff Danny Sanchez told the Alamosa Citizen that the woman was in her 60s and a full-time resident of the Sangre de Cristo ranches. The January summary of wolf movements showed a collared gray wolf entering southern Pitkin County near Custer County. This is the furthest south a wolf has traveled since her reintroduction in 2023. Colorado Parks and Wildlife noted that even though the lone wolf traveled that far south, there's no indication that it is staying in that area. The Cielo Vista Ranch has hired Kate Perdoni to act as a community liaison to facilitate communications and special projects with community members. Perdoni has reportedly worked in tribal relations, field work with the Natural Resources Conservation Service of San Luis, local oral histories, and documentary work across two decades, including a KRZA community radio here in Alamosa and Taos, and Colorado's PBS affiliate. She's also completed research fellowships with the Gates Foundation and Colorado College Holbert Center for Southwest Studies and served as a teaching support for the Centennial School. Partnering with the community is essential as we work to preserve the health of the ecology and cultural significance of the mountain. I'm beyond honored to work with generations of families who are dedicated to the legacy and care of this extraordinary place, said Perdoni. Ranch owner and Texas billionaire William Harrison said, Cielo Vista Ranch is deeply committed to honoring the ecological and cultural heritage of the region while promoting sustainable stewardship of the land. We value relationships with local residents who rely on the mountain for grazing, firewood, and timber gathering. Adding this role to our staff reflects an effort to listen, learn, and work together to care for this remarkable landscape for generations to come. The Sawatch Ranger District announced today new plans for the Laughlin Gulch prescribed fire west of Sawatch. Occasional burning could begin as early as February 10th and will continue through the spring months as conditions allow. Let's hope that it's not so dry that they have to cancel that burn. As part of the La Garita Hills Restoration Project, this Sawatch Ranger District burn area is approximately 10 miles west of Sawatch, Colorado. The Laughlin Gulch prescribed fire aims to treat approximately 1,240 acres of slash, grass, and needlecast and is designed to improve winter range habitat for area big game. Due to the location of the project area, smoke may be visible from around the San Luis Valley and may be heavier locally. No significant smoke impacts are expected. Next up, some upcoming outdoor events. Another Alamosa Riverfront Project open house is scheduled for this week, Thursday, February 26, 2025, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Rio Grande Farm Park. The latest designs will be showed, and the project leaders will update the public. Light refreshments, children activities, and Spanish interpretation will be available. The 42nd Annual Monte Vista Crane Festival is March 7th through March 9th at the Sky High Event Complex. This year's Crane Fest will be a celebration of bird life, conservation, and the breathtaking migration journeys of cranes and many other species. The keynote speaker will be Scott Wiedensahl, who will discuss the discoveries and stories from his book, A World on the Wing. He will be providing a window into the breathtaking journeys of migratory birds and the heroic work being done to protect them. This year's Congreso de Acequias is March 8th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Centennial High School in San Luis, Colorado. The Congreso is an opportunity for acequia-centered communities to come together and share and learn from one another. And some sad news, the San Juan Nordic Club, which was scheduled to sponsor a ski clinic at the 4UR Ranch on February 8th, has let us know that the event has to be canceled due to the lack of snow on the 4UR Ranch. This ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Next time, we'll be talking about the Crane Festival in more detail with Suzanne Beauchesne and Jenny Nearing. The Outdoor Citizen is supported by SLV Great Outdoors and is produced and edited very capably by Owen Woods. If you have an outdoor adventure you want to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, please send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. And as always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. Until next time, this is Marty Jones, hoping to see you out on the trails or on your bicycle somewhere outdoors. Enjoy this abnormally warm weather. Thanks for listening.